Hello and welcome to the Idaho Reports podcast. I'm Logan Finney. As always, there were a lot of legislative issues that made it under the radar here at Idaho Reports before signee die, so we're diving into a few of those. In particular, we're talking about Senate Bill 1293 with Kelly Packer from the Association of Idaho Cities. Kelly, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Logan. I look forward to the conversation.
So this piece of legislation I'm talking with you about today is a rewrite of Idaho's annexation code. So that's why we have you with the Association of Idaho Cities. Can you explain for us what is annexation and why do cities do it?
You bet. So currently in Idaho, you have 44 counties and then you have 198 cities. The jurisdiction for authority for services resides within one or the other of those two entities. If your property is not within a city boundary, then you are under the responsibility of county commissioners and county offices for the varied services that you might get, anywhere from emergency services to streets to etc. However, growth is happening not just within city footprints, it's also happening outside. And sometimes you'll see developers take land that they own in the county jurisdiction and they'll create small little communities. But maybe down the road, those communities either want additional services, they want quicker response times on emergency service needs, or they want streets repaired more often, or maybe they want other services like walking paths and parks and stuff that you don't find within a county jurisdiction typically. Sometimes at that point, you will see residents of those areas ask a city to annex them in because they want enhanced services. Sometimes they'll come to us, though, because water and sewer systems are failing, either private septic tanks or wells are drying up. Quite often, that is when you will see residential areas that ask for a city to annex them in so that they can have the water and sewer services of a city. Because it is typically a better system than what they would have on out in the county. So quite often annexation happens, and what that means is the city then creates an area or identifies an area that they're going to include now in their city footprint. And they annex them into the city boundaries and the boundaries are withdrawn, and now it's a city, they're under city jurisdiction rather than county. And typically, you'll see that happening because of the request of outside entities. Oftentimes it's business related, but sometimes it is residential. Or sometimes you'll see it initiated by a city if they've grown out and around an area, right, in large part. Now, those are called enclaves, which is something that is an interesting facet of Idaho's growth. And often cities will say, okay, now we're providing all of these services around this area, and they're now benefiting from all those services at least in large part, maybe not water and sewer hookups, but the rest, streets, parks, emergency services, etc., without paying any of the freight. And so eventually it becomes the responsible thing to do for a city to annex them in so that everybody's paying the same property tax bill for those same services rather than some neighbors getting it for free.
Sure, because if we think about kind of the layer cake of governments in Idaho, we're all in Idaho.
Yep.
All of us live in one of those counties, but you only live in a city if that city has been put up and set up there.
Right, and typically that's cities were designed for enhanced service needs by the people that live within a certain area. Because you have lots of towns that are still outside the city area, right, that just don't have the same enhanced services. Like a local law enforcement department, you just have the full county sheriff's footprint, or maybe you have a fire district, but you don't have a city fire department, right? And oftentimes the additional ones are the water and sewer hookups and systems that are much more enhanced than a private well or a private septic tank that you have to take care of yourself, etc. So cities are designed for those enhanced services that residents want. And they're going to pay a little bit more for them because everybody pays county property taxes. Only those within a city also pay city property taxes in addition to their county taxes for, again, like I said, additional benefits that they want.
So now can you tell me about this piece of legislation, Senate Bill 1293, as amended? What did it do? What changes did it make to the annexation code?
Well, a lot, actually. It completely repealed Idaho's current annexation code and then restored it with a much simplified framework for annexations. Currently in Idaho code, till July 1, you had three categories of annexation. Category A is known as voluntary annexation, where the people that come to the city, everybody agrees that they want that annexation. Either it's a one property owner, right, that's asked for it and the city's great, or maybe it's multiple parcels, but they all want that same annexation. So that's voluntary and it's easier. You still have to notify, but you don't have to hold quite as many hearings or put quite as much in publications, etc. So a little bit quicker, a little bit cheaper, a lot easier for a city to navigate. Category B is what they call involuntary annexation, and that's where, at least in current code, 50% of the proposed area wants it. Now, sometimes, most often, it's higher, but not 100%. Not everybody, right? But you can't just annex this house and not this one, and then grab this one again. You have to kind of look at the whole area and figure out what's going to be the best and the right fit for the majority. So that's currently category B. And then there's also in Idaho code category C, which is forced annexation, where cities could just say, we're annexing this in, like it or lump it. Didn't happen here in Idaho because you have very conservative, very responsible, thoughtful elected officials at the local level that care about private property rights and were very carefully navigating when they did certain types of annexations. So you never saw cities use that forced annexation. You would sometimes see the involuntary, mostly you'd see the voluntary, full voluntary. So as part of this, cities agreed, let's get rid of category C, let's get rid of the forced annexation because we don't use it anywhere. But we need to keep those other two because there are times when, especially in the event of a failing water and sewer system, where people have come to us and want to be annexed in, but you still don't get 100% buy-in on it. And a city says, yeah, it's the best decision for the health and safety of the folks that live there and for the area as a whole. And so they still do it. So simplified up code, we really like that. Gave away forced annexation. We also gave away implied consent, which prior to July 1, basically, if you came and asked to be hooked up to city services like water or sewer, the city would do that, and you were implying that you agreed to annexation down the road eventually. Because it might be easy enough for them to run a line to you and get you taken care of and fixed, but they still weren't ready to quite annex you in, or there were other elements in between you and them that needed to be taken care of first because you can't annex without a contiguous footprint. So if you hooked up to city services, you were implying that you agreed to future annexation when the city was ready. They didn't like, the bill sponsors didn't like that. They wanted written expressed consent. And we said, fine, that's fine. We can do that. So if you had implied consent prior to July 1 of this year, that's going to stay in place. You're grandfathered. But anything after July 1, if you hook somebody up to a city service, you better have in writing that they recognize that they are agreeing to be annexed down the road, which is, you know, wise anyway. That would be wise counsel that I would recommend to our members anyway. And so that's what we have told people is moving forward, do not hook anybody up or provide any city services to anybody outside your footprint unless you have something in writing that makes it very clear to all involved that that's the intent down the road. So those two things we were willing to concede. We worked with the bill sponsors for 4 years on the technical aspects and making sure that things were, you know, certain protocol was maintained and that things were easier to understand without losing the ability to do certain things. However, there were two major policy changes that have been a hard no for us from day one, and we explained that to them. But the long and short of it is that Representative Young wouldn't budge. She said, no, I want it to be harder for cities to annex down the road. And that's clearly what's going to happen now. The two major changes are on page 3 of the bill. Towards the top, it deals with what we now consider to be involuntary annexations. And as you recall, that meant that At least 50% of the proposed area agreed to it, but not everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she added, so it's still 50% of the proposed area, but it's now and 60% of the parcels, which makes it really hard. So let's say you have two parcels, two large parcels, and one parcel is even 60% and the other is 40. If they don't both agree, you're SOL. The majority parcel owner still can be told by the smaller parcel owner to pound sand if they don't want it.
To make sure I'm understanding this right, so it used to be just a vote of the population,
right?
But now it's both population and the geographical footprint of the real estate?
Well, it used to be you had to get approval. You always had to get approval of at least 50% of the proposed area, right? So if you had two parcels and one was 60%, well, let's say they're both 50-50, let's even say, right? But it makes sense to do both. Or maybe you had the one is contiguous and the other one isn't, but the one that isn't wants it. So you have to bring in the one in order to get the other one. You would go to both, you'd go to that other owner and you'd say, this guy wants to be annexed in, but we need to annex your property with it. And if they didn't say yes, currently you'd still been able to do it because they both own 50% of the proposed area, right? You could still say, well, sorry, we're going to because this guy's wants to and it makes sense, and that's where our water and sewer systems are already grown out to that edge, that boundary, whatever your case might be look like, right? But now, because you have to have 50% of the proposed area and at least 60% of the parcels, number of parcels, right? Well, now you can't make that happen. Even though you have the one, you can't make it happen. But here's the example I used in testimony. I said, let's say that we have an area out in the county footprint that is 40 parcels, okay? And their water, their wells are drying up and their septic systems are starting to fail. And you have the majority of the parcel owners come to the city and say, we'd really like to be annexed in. Let's say that the number's 32 is the number I use. That's 85%. So you've got 85% of the parcels, right, that want it. But you have to still go to the other 15% and talk to them. And let's say you go to those other six or eight, however many that is, eight. Maybe I did 34 and six because I remember six being my one number. Then let's say that those other six say no, and two of them are pretty big parcels. And it takes you over that 50% threshold. You have 85% of the parcels that want it, but you have less than 50% of the area proposed. And so 15% of the population now gets to tell the other 85% to pound sand. And we said, that's not fair. And they kept saying, both in the Senate sponsor and the House sponsor kept saying, this is about private property rights. And we said, you're exactly right. It's about diverging property rights. And that's what local electeds get brought to them quite often. One wants it, one doesn't. Two or three want it, two or three don't. I mean, it happens all the time. And so they have to look at it holistically and say, we value here in Idaho private property rights, but we also have a community standard where we need to be able to keep these people safe from fire and health needs, crimes, whatever the case might be when it comes to emergency services. Plus, we need to maintain streets, both in good good condition for travel, but also with snow and other debris. We have to keep, certain other standards have to be met. So we have to look at it on a whole and say, even though not everybody agrees, it's still overall better for the majority if we go this route, and so we're going to do it. And so, yes, some private property rights might not be happy with it, but if the majority want it and it's best for the whole, right, for the majority, shouldn't that win the day? And you've got locals looking at it very carefully. They don't just willy-nilly annex. And yet now we've tipped that scale to, instead of being fairly balanced at 50% of the proposed area, to now saying 15% in my example of property rights can tell the other 85% who also have property rights that it's a no-go. That's really problematic. And we tried to explain that, but she wouldn't budge. Representative Young would not budge on this. She said She wanted actually 2/3 of the parcels, and we got that amended down to 60%, which helps it a little bit, because 2/3 would have made it impossible, just like a bond or a levy that we now struggle with in some areas. So anyway, the other major policy, and I don't know if you have questions around that, Logan, before I move on.
No, I was going to queue up to move on to the second change. So okay. Go ahead.
All right. The other piece was enclaves. So as I explained earlier on, when you have an area that's mostly surrounded by a city can now annex them in without having to jump through all of the other hoops. They can just do it. It's easier. It's kind of like a voluntary, even though everybody might not want to. Once you hit a certain number, and that number has been since 2008, negotiated with legislators at the time, has been 100. And so for the last 16 years, cities in good faith have been operating under that and have been growing and moving and taking care of the demands in their communities based on the amount of massive growth that Idaho's experiencing. And they have, there's been these pockets of 100 or less in some cases developed because they were trying to do all these voluntary ones now first. Now we have literally hundreds of enclaves throughout the state, and that's going to be the next responsibility that they have to face. In fact, in Idaho Falls, they did all of their Category A first and have just recently started on their Category B, and they've got, I think, like 30 in their city. But what happened in this legislation is that Representative Young took it from 100 down to 30. So now it's going to cost the city, the same city that has an enclave of 100, it's going to cost them 4 times as much to annex that in, or they're going to have to jump through that higher hoop of 50% and 60% of the parcels, right, in order to get it done. So it's going to cost more to do it because you're either going to have to do 30 and then 30 and then 30 and then 10, or if you're OCD like me and you want it really nice and neat, 25, 25, 25, and 25, right? 4 times the cost, or you're going to have to do the extra notifications and all the extra staff work and all the extra public hearings, which all costs. So instead of saving property taxpayer dollars, these legislators just increased the burden to everybody. Or you have to just ignore those folks that are getting all these services for free and let everybody else continue to carry the freight while these guys get it for free. The other piece, the other language, and they kind of fix this, but not the way we'd like. In current Idaho code, it's surrounded on most sides is the threshold. They wanted it surrounded on all sides. And we explained that's an impossibility in some cases. Let's say we surround it on 3 sides, but there's another city on the 4th side. We can't do anything about that. Or let's say we're Twin Falls and we have a gorge, a cliff. You want us to have to put, you know, cliff homes on the side of that so that we can actually count it? Or federal land, state land, utilities like railroads, some of those types of things that we can never, ever annex in, right? And so they did kind of modify it. They added some language like we're legally able or something, because we explained there are circumstances where that's an impossibility, either with natural barriers or other unforeseen barriers like other city footprints, state and federal land, et cetera. So really problematic. We like the bill for the most part because it does simplify Idaho's annexation laws, and we were fine with getting rid of the couple of things that probably weren't good policy anyway, but those two major policy changes are going to make it very hard moving forward for cities to do this in a cost-effective way, if at all.
So just to make sure I'm keeping up with you here, it used to be, so we had these situations where cities were slowly expanding, but they would not expand for these developments that were 100 parcels or less, because their expectation was they could just take the whole 100 parcels all at once, right?
Well, so basically they would navigate it. They wouldn't necessarily try to carve out those, but when they would have those conversations, let's say that one neighborhood came to them and wanted to be annexed in, and they said it would be best if we could do this one and the one next to it, but when they talk to the one next to it, they don't want it. Well, then they might still go ahead and do the one that wanted it, right? And then let's say on the other side, eventually another subdivision wanted to be annexed in, and that one still didn't want to. Eventually, it just slowly happens. Well, then that would have been then created a situation where eventually they could, regardless of whether that one ever wanted it or not, right? And so that's where we find ourselves in a situation where now 16 years later, we have hundreds of those across the state in cities, And it just got even harder to pull those folks in, or more costly if they are going to chunk it. So they're going to have to either chunk it or get the approval from those folks. And so it's either going to be impossible to do it, or it's going to be four times the cost. And it's just really unfortunate that our legislators refuse to hear that, especially the bill sponsors. And I had a conversation in the Senate committee hearing where I said, she says, we're not going to make it impossible. I said, no, I'm not saying you're making it impossible, but you are making it harder. You have to acknowledge you're making it harder. And in some cases, you're making it more expensive. And she says, I said, because these two things are major policy changes. They're not just cleaning it up like you keep wanting to say. These are policy shifts. And she finally said, you're right. And the legislature needs to make the decision whether they think it should be what it is now or whether it should be harder. And unfortunately for us, they made it harder. And what's sad is that, unfortunately for residents, they made it harder, because there are going to be circumstances where there are failing systems, and there's going to be the minority that holds it up for the majority, and we're going to just say, sorry, there's nothing we can do about it. Call your legislator. In fact, specifically call one or two specific ones who brought the bill.
You kind of referenced it earlier in the conversation, but this is a bill that's been in the works for 3-4 years now. Can you give me some of the background to what was the impetus for this, and why are a handful of lawmakers so invested in it?
Sure. So in 2016, I believe, and I might be off give or take a year on some of these dates, but I believe in 2016, the city of Blackfoot decided to annex in. They were approached by some parcel owner that wanted to be annexed in. And when they looked at it, they felt it was best to do a bigger footprint than just that one. So they annexed in, and there were some, including Basic American Foods, I believe, and then Groveland Water and Sewer, that were not happy about that annexation, because it encompassed part of the Groveland area and the Groveland footprint for Groveland Water and Sewer. Not all of it, because that's where Representative Young lives, and she was not part of that, but she was still, her neighbors were impacted by it, as was her water and sewer system. That was the impetus for it. The next year, or actually in 2018, I believe, not the very next year, but in 2018, I think she started working on it in 17 and 18, I believe, with Mayor Jaron Wagner, but then Representative Wagner. And they wanted to clean it up, and they worked with those folks that I wasn't here on some of the language. I don't know if they worked with city folks. But eventually, I know that she reached out to me, but I believe when I first got here, in 2020, after the 2020 legislative session, and they hadn't been successful getting it through. So she reached out to me and asked for some help, and we sent that feedback that said, here are the technical components we'd fix in it if you were going to do it. And then again, we don't like these two major policy changes. They are non-starters for us. She incorporated some of our proposed language and recommendations, but would never, ever jump off of her policy change stance. And so we opposed it, and we worked hard against it. It didn't even get printed at that point. In 2022, I believe, she brought it again. And this time, again, she sent it to us. We gave her feedback. She made some changes, but still non-starter for us because of those two major policy changes. We were able to get that stopped, and that year, because of some other proposals that were coming forth, both by Representative Okonowitz and then also, I think, just Representative Okonowitz, and there was problems with the fact that the area of impact, which is another area of annexation law, was not being addressed appropriately for the changes that were being made in both of those. So then in 2023, we had these dueling pianos, is what they called it. We had the area of impact bill from Senator Leahy, now Senator Okonowitz's annexation bill, and then Representative Young's again, and we were able to get it stopped this year. And again, she brought it to us, we made recommendations, but every time we've said we will oppose it as long as these two policy changes are in place. She wouldn't change them. Again, it came this year, and we actually got it amended twice, both in the Senate and in the House, with some things. In the Senate, it was bringing the 2/3 down to 60% and a little technical cleanup. And then in the House, it was just some technical cleanups and the language about surrounded on all sides. But the two major policy changes still stayed in place. So we actively opposed it throughout the session, but weren't successful for a variety of reasons.
These sort of decisions, when they're made on the local level, of course, there's the logistical considerations, where your pipes run, how many people need services. But these are also political decisions that are happening, especially when they're contested or these involuntary annexations where some of the property owners don't want to be included. I think I already know the answer to this, but do you feel like the lawmakers have tipped the scales a little bit too far in favor of one group?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we tried to say is a couple of things, a couple of points I'd like to make there, Logan. Your local elected officials, the mayors and council members in your cities, as well as the county commissioners in your county, are elected by the same group of people as elect their legislators. And I've often asked some legislators, not all, but I wish I, could ask all. Did the voters get it right when they elected their legislators, but got it wrong when they elected their commissioners or their mayor and council members? Because you have legislators who are legitimately trying to solve problems brought to them by their constituents, but who are failing to recognize that the local folks are legislating in the face of those people, unlike legislators. They are the ones on the front line. They see them in the grocery stores, they see them at church, they see them at the, sports events and school activities. They are in their face the whole time they're making decisions, as well as these public hearings that they have to actually, they can't suspend rules and not have public testimony, except like the legislators can. All kinds of things. And they are being very intentional and very careful about it. And they should be partners in good policy at the state level, not somebody that you run over with state policy. And it's really unfortunate that, especially in this case, you had legislators failing to recognize that there are real needs where private property rights diverge, where some want it and some don't. And it could be as serious as failing septic systems that's going to be a health harm to many, not just to the one or two that don't want it, right? And locals have to say, yeah, we don't want to force anybody in ever. But in this case, it is what's best for the health and safety of our community and those folks, whether they recognize it or not, or want it or not. And because we can't just carve out one house or two or three homes, we have to do this in a thoughtful way. And they're very careful. They rarely use it. They mostly do voluntary. They rarely use it, but there are those times when it really does have to happen. And you have the majority that want it. So now we're telling them that doesn't matter, and that those folks shouldn't get to have the opportunity to make a decision, the best decision for their community. They're just going to have to lump it. It's unfortunate, in my opinion. It's really sad because yes, it did tip the scales too far the other way.
Okay. Well, those of us at Idaho Reports will be sure to keep an eye on this issue, especially if it causes any major issues for any specific cities. Kelly Packer, Executive Director with the Association of Idaho Cities, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Thank you for having me, Logan. I appreciate it.
Presentation of Idaho Reports on Idaho Public Television is made possible through the generous support of the Laura Moore Cunningham Foundation, committed to fulfilling the Moore and Bettis family legacy of building the great state of Idaho, by the Friends of Idaho Public Television, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for Idaho Public Television comes from the School of Public Service at Boise State University, providing objective and impactful research for Idaho and beyond, and academic programs with hands-on learning that equip students to be effective public service leaders.